podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
At Discount Tire, we know your time is valuable. Get 30% shorter average wait time when you buy and book online. Did you know Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Check out our current deals at DiscountTire.com or stop in and talk to an associate today. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for.
Based on Cox analysis of Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
Gentlemen, welcome to Axel on this Tuesday afternoon. It's the trio, a treble. One team won't be getting a treble this season, but the three of us are here on this Tuesday afternoon. Gentlemen, how are we? In the Christmas spirit yet after that Christmas advert this morning?
Can't fail to be, mate. Cannot fail to be. Certainly, we're hopefully going to be in a happier place this Christmas than we were last Christmas.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. Patrick, you're back after your wee break off.
I am.
Happy to be back and happy with that Christmas advert this morning.
I am. They knocked out the park again. It's always brilliant. It was a bit of a dampener last year because the football wasn't too good, but football's enjoyable again this season, so good to enjoy the Christmas advert.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of people were saying because they had put Neil Lennon in the Christmas advert last year, there was absolutely no chance we'd let him go for the month of December due to his starring role in that Christmas advert. But there was a few nice touches in that Christmas advert. I thought the photograph of Angie's dad appearing at the very start of the advert. The family, I think it's the Kilgallen family, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. The wee girl had a Japanese headband on at one of the games, and it's herself and her brother meeting Kyogo Ayeti and Juranovic outside the shop. So a few nice touches. But Lawrence, self-awareness from Celtic in it. We get the laugh about Gavin Strachan's laptop, which there seems to be silence about that laptop ever since we started winning games. And we also continued the patter about Tony Ralston being a brickie since it looks like it's Big Julian's getting a truck for his Christmas.
So, that was one of the areas the short-lived CEO revitalised with social media. And, they're approaching Kelvin levels of production, aren't they? So, yeah, you can certainly say that's been revitalised. It's better than last year's advert, but... yeah, definitely good laugh. And, I think we're all shed a tear at the end, didn't we, with the Bertie message?
Yeah, I thought it was a really nice touch. And obviously, Eddie Reader over at with Auld Lang Syne playing throughout. And obviously, tribute at the end, Lawrence, as you say, and the letters that they've got above the main stand at Celtic Park just now in tribute to one of Celtic's greatest sons. A few comments coming in. Hello, wherever you are. One of these is from Boston. Good afternoon. Kevin Graham's coming to say good afternoon. Patrick, you've not been on in a couple of weeks, and obviously you've not had your... I think everybody in Axum's had their own wee story to say about Bertie Auld. So, obviously, at the weekend, which we're going to come to, there was two absolutely cracking tributes to Bertie. But yourself, Bertie Auld, for you, probably all been covered, but anything to say in the wee man that's probably not been said?
Probably not, no. I mean, I was lucky to meet him two or three times. What a cracking storyteller he is. Because you could just go up to him. You'd never met him in your life, and he'd just tell you all these stories about Celtic. Act as if he knew you for years and years. And people said it when the news first broke that we'll never get a guy like that again. You know, a European Cup winner, a guy that loved the club, and someone who can tell stories like that for 50 years after he won the Cup. It's just amazing. So rest in peace. And you're right, the two tributes were cracking at the weekend at the semi-finals.
Yeah, to the commenters that are asking if we look happy and we look settled, Jez, I think we all are quite happy and settled. And Ange Postecoglou certainly looks happy and settled in his Christmas jumper, starring role for the big man, Patrick. But again, as we say to Lawrence, there's some good self-awareness. It's good when we can laugh at ourselves. And in cases like this, you know, we're playing good football, so the feel-good factor seems to be around Celtic Park just now, and the mood's quite high.
100%. And, you know, the Gavin Strachan laptop was absolutely hilarious. It's funny because you now know that people in Celtic are watching you on Twitter. They know what the patter is. They know about Ralston being a bricky and Gavin Strachan's laptop. You're right, there is no more patter about that now that we're winning games. I don't think the laptop was ever the problem. I think it was the manager. But no, it's quite funny. And the self-awareness is good. At least the social media team and the Christmas advert production team are self-aware.
Yeah, it's a pity some other folk at the club weren't as self-aware as they are. Lawrence, as well as that, you're smiling just now. John Kennedy smiles in the advert. It's shock horror. I've got the laptop, you know, being able to do a seating plan, and we've got John Kennedy smiling. What else would you want?
Well, Joe Hart's getting a bottle of shampoo. I don't know which brand from Kyogo. It's just, you know, cracking advert, isn't it? Listen, no wonder John Kennedy's smiling. You know, the tightest defence in Scotland. You know, I think he originally joined as a defensive coach, and he took an absolute hammer last year, didn't he? So if he was taking a hammer last year for being a defensive coach that whose defence wasn't performing, he's surely got to take some of the plaudits this year, hasn't he?
Yeah, we do have the best record for the team that you know, was supposed to be all at sea at the back. And Patrick, I think everybody, all three of us were probably hoping that there was going to be some major hint about Jota and signing permanently for the club. We do see him having his starring role at the end as George Michael when he gives us a tune to Greg Taylor, who, by the way, I don't think suits a double denim at all. I mean, you know, he gets a bad enough time around when he stick him in double denim. I don't think he was doing him any favours.
Well, is he fit if he can play the guitar? Then he must be
this could be a thing to consider. Lawrence. But Patrick, do you want to have faith? If you get faith that, you know, maybe that letter that he got off hand, you might be opening Christmas Day and it might have a contract inside it.
I don't know about Christmas Day, but I'm hoping come the summer it will do. I can't, as much as I really, really want us to, and as much as it makes the most sense, I can't really see us signing him in January. I don't think we're that eager to part with that amount of money, £6.4 million. I think it's a no-brainer. As long as he continues this form, he'll end up with over 20 goals, over 15 assists, and how can Celtic turn a player like that down? Because when you're spending £7 million in Julian, £9 million in Edward, and, you know, £5 million in people like Ayeti and Barkas, to turn down a top-quality player for £6.5 million, it just doesn't make any sense. So him and Carter Vickers, to be fair, I'm not sure. I think they can get Carter Vickers for £1 or £2 million, which is another no-brainer, as long as he continues his form. So I'd make them the first two signings on, you know, the 1st of June or whenever the window opens, the 1st of July next year.
Yeah, they're both, you know, very important players to Ange's system at this point in time, as you say. And, you know, Jota's work up front is obviously something that we all notice. But, you know, Carter Vickers has been absolutely pivotal at the back for Celtic, and getting him in so late in the window, you really wonder where it would be had we, you know, get that deal over the line so late on. Jamie Young's come in to see the new Celtic video was class. Probably just to wrap up the video, well done to Kerry and all the team that made the video. I thought it was an absolute cracker. They seem to get better each year, so well done to her and all the team. But yeah, as I was saying to both of you there, that the feel-good factor is around Celtic at this moment in time. We're obviously in a cup final now. But yesterday at 5 o'clock, the open goal lads dropped the interview I think we all wanted to see between Si Ferry, Paul Slane and Ange Postecoglou. Both of you were sent away on a mission yesterday before and are prepped for the show to go and watch it. So we're going to have a wee chat through it. And the tagline that we've got here is directly from that. He said that I'm here to bring trophies to this football club. So we'll kick off it. Patrick, just in general, what did you think of the whole chat and the whole sit down?
Yeah, it was brilliant. I mean, the press conferences are good, but you can tell it's a much more relaxed atmosphere. You know, I think Si Ferry's a Celtic fan. Two guys that certainly came through at Celtic.
Stevie is as well.
Aye. But yeah, a much more relaxed chat. It's a conversation with two people as opposed to one question from about 10, 15 journalists. So the conversation flowed a lot better, and you could sort of go into more depth about his dad and his life in Australia and his previous clubs and his managerial career. So it was brilliant, and you know, it's just what everyone says, isn't it? You could listen to him for hours. The big man's just amazing, and I think he does get the club. I think he's possibly the perfect fit, because it's attacking football, we're winning games, and he understands that it's what the supporters want to see, and the supporters are right behind him. So it was just a brilliant chat, and hopefully he wins Manager of the Month for November and we can get another one.
Yeah, hopefully a wee extended version of that maybe come out after he hopefully goes and wins another Manager of the Month award. But as you say, he probably is the perfect fit from all the plaudits that we heard within the video. And there's actually, I've made a couple of connections between him and Celtic history, which is quite interesting. That I'll touch on when we get to it. But Lawrence, one of the points he said very early on in it was that the Betis game, which, you know, a lot is looked at and a lot of us were disappointed that we went 2-0 up in the game and, you know, ended up, you know, getting beat 4-3. But he said that that was the game he thought that the players get belief that if they would stick to playing this football, we'll crack it at some point. What did you make of that point? Because I would have said the turning point for us was at Pitozzi, but the manager clearly thinks different.
Listen, he's going to know the players better than us. And I think if you told any of the players you're going to go 2-0 away from home against Betis, they'd have been like, you know, not a chance. So I can see where he's coming from there. But listen, yeah, we'd all thought, you know, wish they maybe held on. But still, it was fairly early on in the team's formation, wasn't it? You know, they're still getting to know each other. But if they can have that kind of 20 minutes, half an hour spell against Real Betis away from home that puts them two up, it surely has got to give them kind of some kind of belief to say, you know what, we're actually not a bad team when we play like this. It's just being able to sustain it over 90 minutes, being able to keep going, get the fitness up. Part of that is just having, you know, a squad deep enough to do that, because, geez, you know, we're going to be facing, what is it, 10 games before January now. I think that'll be a fairly testing for us as a squad.
Yeah, you know, there's going to be obviously the cup final now in the St Mirren games rescheduled in there, Pat. It is going to be 10 games as a squad. We knew that, you know, in terms of the squad, we were pretty threadbare. But it's going to be a big challenge. But just now, I think if you can continue to build momentum, we should be okay going into this run of fixtures.
Yeah, and you know, we've been on a great run since Leverkusen at home. Yeah, I think it's something like 8 wins out of 9 games with that one draw at Livingston. So, fantastic run of games. And, you know, if we can just get any sort of positive result on Thursday night, that would lift the spirits as well. It would keep the momentum going. I think, you know, he addressed it in the Celtic View podcast yesterday, the day before, that, you know, he'd been trying to avoid looking at this 11-game fixture list in December, but he's had to confront it now. But, you know, Celtic always play 2 games a week, and he's dealt with it quite well the past 8 to 10 weeks when we've been on this good run of form. So it's always difficult in December, but you know, I think almost everyone's back fit now, or everyone will be in a couple of weeks anyway, Taylor and Julian and people like that. So hopefully we get through it and just keep it close at the top.
Yeah, just quickly to interject in this, I know we're talking about Angel open goal, but Celtic shared has just, I've just got a notification through my phone to say that an open letter to Michael Nicholson regarding him and an appointment of Bernard Higgins has been sent to him. A Celtic State of Mind has sent an open letter. Cormac's come in to say glad to see Axon putting their name to the open letter to Michael Nicholson. I won't read the whole thing out. It's all on Twitter if you want to have a look at it. But in general, the signatures of this letter represent tens of thousands of Celtic supporters and makes any position that Bernard Higgins may hold at Celtic Park untenable. Just very quickly, it's been signed by 10 fans organisations, 13 fan media and online outlets, that's including Axon, 112 supporters clubs. We'll come back to that when we probably go over the AGM, as we've not been on since then. But just to anybody that's not noticed, that is up on Twitter just there, you can go and have a look at it, but we'll come back to it later on in the show. Lawrence, back to Ange Postecoglou and open goal. One of the questions was about changing his style, and it's something that we've, you know, debated about, chatted about on here multiple times. But he said that he doesn't understand the question, because he said in his role at Celtic, he needs a result every week. And what he thinks he does in preparation and the way he plays his team gives him the best chance of success. He likes to be super aggressive whenever he can, as that's who he is. What did you make of those comments?
Listen, I think it probably gives us a framework to work from, doesn't it? You know, we've seen him change things in-game to maybe when we are ahead and maybe put on, you know, a holding midfielder. But at least it lets you know how you're going to start. And that's what Celtic fans want to see. We want to see us having a go and saying, well, you know, we're going to make the best that we can here. And I'm not too sure we would ever accept us, you know, deciding to park the bus against anyone, you know. It just wouldn't be the best watch. If he thinks the best way of scoring against somebody is to be aggressive, this is his style of play. He elaborated on it. It's the style he knows how to coach. It's a style he's had success with. It's going to, yeah, you know, when you put all those things together, well, why would they change it to a style he doesn't know how to coach and he hasn't had any success with? It'd be, yeah, you know, no matter what you're doing, you need a focus and a vision, and Ange's definitely got that. He's getting across to the players. You know, you can see the, you know, whether it's the best game or other games, you can see week in week we're getting better. You know, and the players have completely bought into it, as have the fans. You know, it's definitely great to watch, isn't it? You know, the ball retention's amazing. I think it's better to watch than you know some of the seasons under Rodgers when it was just side to side and safe passes and all that. Ange is trying to get him to play the dangerous passes. He has been aggressive. So, yeah, you know, it's great to, you know, the boys were able to get kind of answers to go more in depth with things, as Patrick's touched on, as opposed to getting one question and not being able to get anyone to expand on it or get your follow-up or get kind of deeper thought on it. But Ange's referred everyone to his book, you know, he's touched on it. I'm sure that's going to be in a lot of Christmas stockings.
It's sold out on Amazon this morning. I had a wee look. It's you know, hen's teeth to get it. So, you know, if you do wake up with one of them in Christmas morning, you're a lucky boy or girl, and the Celtic shop might be missing a trick not having that in stock.
Well, yeah, I think they need to be getting a print one done ASAP, don't they? Go on to his publishers and say, you know, we need this printed up. You know, but listen, maybe by the end of the season, there's an extraordinary chapter in it. Let's hope so.
It's
a second edition.
Yeah, hopefully an updated edition does come with an updated chapter. I don't think it'll be as big a loving as other manager Brendan Rodgers' book was, which I don't think sales has did too well since February 2019. But I think it's still kicking about the Celtic shop.
I got that for my Christmas in 2018 and I picked it up in the end of January. So I'm only like a chapter and a half in, mate. Still, I was like, you know what, that's it. That can go back on the shelf.
Yeah. I don't think it's too big a need for Celtic fans' priority just now. I think we'd all rather get our hands in that Ange book. But Patrick, in talking about the players responding to his style, he talks about football players, and again, you know, we've all played football, and he says in their core majority of footballers want to play that style of football, going forward, scoring goals, etc., etc., defenders being aggressive. But I thought it was really interesting as well. He says late in the game, still players look at the bench, asking us, do they want them to play from the back? I say it's just human nature. There was a few times on Saturday, I think all of us had we were worried towards the end, especially when between Beaton and Joe Hart. But he's implementing this system. There's belief in the system and they are executing it, and it will only continue to grow the many games that it gets played.
Yeah, 100%. And there was one, I think, about 15 minutes in, Michael O'Halloran closed down Joe Hart in the first half. And it goes wide, but it could easily go in if it hits it a different way, if it comes off at a different angle. So these are the risks that you take. And I think, you know, we conceded a goal to AZ Alkmaar doing that. I'm not sure you could even count that as playing out from the back, but it was a mix-up between the defender and the goalkeeper. But, you know, we're going to score some pretty good goals from playing out from the back, some pretty good-to-watch goals. You see Man City play like that, you see all the best teams in the world play like that. So I think it's just the way football's going, and you know, as time goes on, more players are going to become accustomed to playing like this. And I think that's the problem with Starfelt actually at the start of the season. I think if we weren't playing out from the back, if it was more sort of lump it forward and just get the ball beyond the defenders as quickly as possible, Starfelt might actually have looked slightly better at the beginning of the season. But he's getting used to passing out from the back, so he's coming onto a game But I mean, Ange knows what he's doing. He's had success everywhere he's went as time goes on. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, and as you touched on there, Patrick, you know, signing players like Carroll Stafford, we will probably sign other players that will be maybe a bit better suited to this system. As you say, some of the guys that are, you know, your David Turnbull and Callum McGregor, they will have had to have adapted to it, because what we were playing last season compared to now is completely different. Shape's completely different, and the maybe play football's completely different. But Lawrence, another point he makes on this is, he says, if you go to a library, there's many sections in the library. Today he went to one section, and that was playing aggressive attacking football. You know, Bertie, a man who always used to sing the Celtic song, and that is, you know, that word that we always come up with, the Celtic way, that is the Celtic way of playing football, isn't it? That aggressive attacking style of football.
Yeah, you know, yeah, without doubt, Bertie was maybe too aggressive, you know, get your retaliation in first, but I don't know. But listen, it's great for us to watch. And listen, playing out from the back, it's something we'll get better at. You know, we're going to make mistakes as we get, you know, used to the system, but they'll get fewer and fewer mistakes the more confident we get at it, and the more used to we're playing at it. So, I think the team's improving week in week. You know, what our last 8 games, Patrick's touched on, we've just had, you know, from, you know, the must win at Aberdeen, taking on and probably dropping points in our easiest game, with, you know, against Livingston. You know, you'd have bitten anyone's hand off for that beforehand. And if you keep that performance up for the rest of the season, you're going to end up with at least 2 trophies, you know, I think. So, yeah, and definitely suits us, you know, and I think he touched in the interview when they asked him, you know, sound like you're made for the job, and he said, yeah, you know, I thought so, but I wasn't the one interviewing me, kind of thing. So, yeah, I think he's done. He's overreached anyone's expectations so far of where we've been with such a massive rebuild. We're still going to be in Europe after Christmas. You know, Leverkusen, you know, I think, you know, they've got bad injuries. They haven't been on the best run of results. I can see he's going over there and taking something. You know, we've got to be in high spirits just now.
Yeah, we certainly do. And I think Celtic fans are definitely going to be allowed to go to the game. So that can only help us. That's something that we've had missing. I know Paul, Matthew and some of the other boys get into Ferencvaros, and there was Paul as well, has been at two of them so far. There was Batiste too, he had in the toilets. But hopefully, no toilets or hospitality for him up in Leverkusen on Thursday. On to the inverted fullbacks, Patrick. You know, you say there was a fullback as a player, late going forward, but it used to annoy him when he used to have to stand in a halfway line, knowing that if a team broke, he'd be defending against 4 or 5 players. Now, this is a wee full circle thing that I came up with last night when I was listening to this. I thought it was very interesting. People might think I'm a bit mad, but Ferenc Puskas has been living in a parallel world to Celtic in terms of his influence in the club without kicking a ball. And that all goes back to the 1960 European Cup final at Hampden, which, when Jim Craig interviewed Jock Steen, the boss, before he passed away, Jock Steen said that the game that influenced his style of football was the 1960 European Cup final, when he noticed that apart from the centre-half, he's a Santa Maria, the rest of the players could all score goals and they all pivoted around them. And Jock Steen built that in the formation of Billy McNeil at the very core of that Celtic team playing football. So that was Steen getting his balance, his football philosophy from watching Puskas. By the way, Puskas scored 4 goals in that game. Di Stéfano scored a hat-trick. Celtic going playing in Di Stéfano's testimonial. 7 years later, Jock Steen's the boss of Celtic after winning the European Cup. And that's Ferenc Puskas' influence, Jock Steen. Ferenc Puskas has obviously had a big influence here in Ange Postecoglou, Patrick, because Puskas was not interested in defending either. I think he was his manager at South Melbourne, and used to just tell the two wingers, don't come back. What do you make of that as a wee kind of 360 move? You know, we've got a guy from halfway around the world coming over here, but the same man in Ferenc Puskas, what would that be, 60 odd years apart, had the same kind of influence in two men?
Yeah, 61 years apart. Never heard of that story from Jock Steen and Jim Craig before. That's interesting. And, you know, it's certainly different. I mean, I don't think Ange leaves his 3 forward players up in the halfway line, leaving Ralston and Jovanovic exposed. You know, I think he's slightly adapted. But, yeah, I mean, it's certainly interesting to influence a player that's never played for the club. Never, I don't think he's ever really commented on the club. What an influence he can have. And, you know, long may it continue, because I know Celtic's all about attacking football, and as much as their downfall tends to be your defensive side of things, you probably wouldn't change it for the world, because 9 games out of 10, we're attacking, we're winning, scoring goals, watching a great team. So, yeah. Again, just to say that Ange's the perfect fit, and I'm glad Ferenc Puskás had that effect on him.
Yeah, I think we all are. And again, Lawrence, another wee parallel is, when Ange was talking about his dad, he said his father detested Italian football. And again, in 1967, it's Celtic that put an end to that run of the Catanaccio football, when they absolutely battered them in the European Cup final.
Yeah, you know, kind of, I suppose, the birth of modern football. Overlapping fullbacks, a wee bit different. But even if you want to go further back, you know, I think Puskás was influenced by Jimmy Hogan and obviously Johnny Madden. You know, great influence in Hungarian football, obviously, both former Celts. So, yeah, you know, it goes kind of all the way back, doesn't it? But, yeah, 67 was obviously first non Latin team to win the European Cup. And, you know, probably the invention of total football. A lot of people say it was the Dutch, but when you speak to the Dutch, they were inspired by the Celtic team. So it's kind of, I think it's a great link. You know, it's one that may have been written in the stars. You know, Ange touched on it in his interview, doesn't it? You know, it was the perfect team for him, or the perfect club for him.
Absolutely. Kevin Graham's coming in to say that parallel universes are his bags, and he's chuffed with that one that I've came up with. So there's my hot take of the day. Ferenc Puskás not kicked a ball for Celtic, influenced 2 Celtic managers. Hopefully Ange Postecoglou is half as successful as Jokstein, because if he is, we are in for one hell of a ride. But again, you know, I think, Patrick, something, you know, a lot of the time last season, we just seemed so detached from the football club and detached from the people at the club. But when you hear Ange talk about the influence that his dad had on him, and particularly, I know you're like myself, that, you know, you go to the games with your old man and stuff, and he talks about that the only real time that he probably spent time with his dad and saw his real personality come out was when he went to football games with him. And again, it's just kind of, you know, there's a lot of parallels that you can actually draw by Ange Postecoglou, and, you know, feel so sympathetic towards him in terms of, he's just, you know, although he's from Estonia and he's from a country that's halfway around the world, there's so many things that you can actually draw so close to him. And in terms of this, you know, when he said that, you know, he saw his dad's emotion came out, and that was when he noticed that, you know, this game does that to him, so I have to love this game. It's so refreshing to hear a manager, because I think we've got a real, you know, lover of football as our manager at this point in time.
100%. And, you know, I think he's got that bond with his dad that a lot of people would do, where you might not spend a lot of time with him during the week, but, you know, back in the day, I'm talking about, you might not spend a lot of time during the week, but there's always the football on the Saturday where you can really bond and have a good time and enjoy yourself. Not only that, you know, he was born in Greece and emigrated to Australia. So, you know, there's that link as well. You know, a lot of Celtic, and I mean, me and you aren't immigrants. I don't think any of us in this call are, but there is that link from 150, 160 years ago, where, you know, most Celtic fans have came from a family that had to come to a foreign country and, you know, work their way up and prove themselves. And he's mentioned that a few times about his dad. You know, he worked so that he could have a better life. So I think that's probably why he gets it so much. You know, he understands, he comes from the same type of background. It's the same sort of working class, have to make your own way in the world type of attitude. And I just think it's brilliant.
Yeah. A few people coming in to say, your old man seen Puskás at Hampden. My grandfather was at the 1960 European Cup final, 7-3. What a game that must have been. But again, we're talking about Puskás, we're talking about Di Stéfano. Go back to our striker, Kigo Furuhashi. Now again, you know, he's played a starring role in this Christmas advert, but I thought it was really interesting that Andrew's touching on again. He's 26 years of age. He wasn't a young lad, Lawrence, when we brought him obviously over here from the G League, and that Ange just thought he would be the right fit and he would adapt quickly culturally to Scotland. And obviously there's been links with other players from the G League. If we do bring other players in, I think that can only help Kyogo, because, you know, in terms of settling here and in terms of, you know, getting to know Glasgow and stuff, it can only help if one of his fellow countrymen join him here.
Yeah, listen, hopefully it was interesting to see Ange said, like, you know, one of the top recommendations was from his defenders that had to face Kyogo. You know, he was saying, his defenders saying, look, this guy's an absolute nightmare. He's got the knowledge of that league. You know, I think we've all watched every bit of footage on YouTube of Maeda that's available, because he seems to be the one that's most heavily linked. If it helps Kyogo settle, brilliant. I mean, we know we need another forward. We didn't really have a lot of options, you know, with Giakoumakis out. He's been stop-start. I think everybody said, well, look, Ayeti, probably time to move him on. The only thing I'd worry about in Japan, you know, they'll play the full season come January, so Kyogo will have played a full season. I know he did a wee bit out for injury, but whoever we bring in will also have played a full season. And, you know, we've then potentially got, you know, a couple of Japanese players. We'll get Rogic, who will have to travel further for the international stuff. But, yeah, listen, if they're as good as Kyogo, you know, just fill the team. It's, you know, bring them over, isn't it? You obviously can judge a player, you know, and he knows how to get the best out of players. So you've got to put your faith in the manager, you know, or I think Jota would say that, you've got your faith.
Good link, Lawrence, I like that. We're all about the links today, and a man you've just mentioned there, Lawrence, is Tommy Rogic. And again, Patrick, we knew that when Ange came in, he was the one player that the manager knew all about. He'd played him for Estelia, and he'd been an important part of that Estelia team. But, you know, again, one of the points that Ange makes is, you know, Rogic's only 28 and he says that his best years could be ahead of him. And he's saying that, you know, when Tommy enjoys his football, the best comes out of him. I think we're seeing, you know, a Tom Rogic we probably thought was gone last season, certainly. You know, we, again, probably down to a lack of game time and all the other circumstances. But in terms of Tom Rogic under Ange, he's been absolutely sensational so far this season.
He has. He's really kicked on. You know, he came into the team last October, I think, for the AC Milan home game.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
It's the Marketer's Report. This week, Patrizia Spagnoletto, Global Chief Marketing Officer, Direct to Consumer for Warner Brothers Discovery, weighs in on the difficult task of building and retaining consumer trust.
Trust is a really hard thing to build and a really easy thing to destroy, and we have to be very respectful about that. Our partnership with iHeart has really helped us build that trust and that relationship with the on-air talent. The best thing for us to do is to build a relationship with our consumers. And if those consumers have a relationship with the DJs that are on air, then we want to build on that. House of the Dragon, which was one of our most successful, if not the most successful campaign we've ever done for a show, audio is a core part of that.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. Not just a media company, iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
And, you know, he made a bit of an impact, but after a week or two, you know, our season went down the pan quick after that, and he was just, you know, one of many players who didn't play to his usual standards last season. But
yeah, and
you know,
it went down the pan, depending on who you blame for it going down the pan, you know, according to somebody last week.
Aye, exactly. No, but I mean, even this season, I thought, is he trying to force something that isn't there? But no, he's absolutely kicked on, and especially since him and Turnbull, you know, we sort of thought they couldn't play together because, you know, Christie had left, and it was those two in the midfield, and it wasn't really working in September. And we've hit form since then, and you can see how integral both of them are. They both have their off days, but, you know, he's been absolutely sensational and a massive miss since he went out of the team, actually, because I think you've seen the Livingston draw, and even at times on Saturday, we do struggle in the midfield a bit to create something when he's not there. You know, I think we spoke about how Kyogo was coming deep and, you couldn't make those runs in behind, and you were left with Jota making those runs, and that's probably why it looked like he had such a good game, because he was left to do all that himself. But, you know, I do hope his best years are ahead of him. I don't think that's the case, because he was absolutely phenomenal in Rodgers' second season. But as long as he continues his current form, I think we'll have a great player for the next 2 or 3 years at least.
Yeah, and, you know, in terms of longevity, Lawrence, Tommy Rodgers heading for, you know, if his best years are ahead of him, that means he's probably going to be there hitting over 30. Along with Jamesy Forrest and Neil Beaton, we're going to have quite a few testimonials to go to. I don't know how well attended the latter one will be there that I mentioned, but I certainly think the front two will probably have decent turnouts for them. And again, you know, these guys who have been there and seen it all and won it all, it's very important to have them at the club, because in terms of the core values of the club, in terms of understanding the pressures of Celtic, it's very important to have guys like that in your dressing room, isn't it?
Yeah, you want guys that know how to win trophies, know what it means to the fans that have been over the course. But touching on Tommy Rogic, I think he's actually got a player out of him that no one really thought was there. You know, he's getting 90-minute performances out of him, and you're kind of going, you know, serious doubts whether we'd ever get out of a Rogic. He's revitalised a lot of players, none so more than, you know, Rogic, and actually been able to get 90 minutes of like outstanding performances out of him. Just some of the times you watch, he could be in any team, you know, the ball just sticks to his feet, he's slaloming past 3 or 4 challenges, he's just looking phenomenal. The sooner the back is better, I mean, I'm still not 100% convinced with him and Turnbull in the same midfield, but again, how many options do we have? But he's brought Beaton in to sit deeper, who's, I think, improving game and game. He's relearning the position. It lets us push Cal Mark further forward, and I think that's probably got a better balance, you know, Beaton, Cal Mark and Rogic. You know, Turnbull's still only 22. He's got a lot, he's got a lot of developing to do, hasn't he? He's, you know, absolutely. I forget how young a team it is. You know, when you look through that team, and just certainly, you know, Tony Ralston is improving. I thought Taylor had a good start to the season before he gets injured. So, you know, Starvelt, Carter, Vickers, it's a young defence, isn't it? And they, obviously, Beaton and Cal Mark are probably two of the older stagers, same with Rogic, but they've still, you know, got 4 or 5 years ahead of them, haven't they? And then up front, we've got Abada, probably Forrest will start now that it's back fit. You've got Kogo and Jota. You know, Forrest is the old man out of those four, isn't he? You know, Kyogo, mid-20s, and the other two, what, 19 and 21 or something. It's, you know, he's laying foundations that could be there for a while, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, you're talking about that at midfield, and it's something you've spoken a lot about, Patrick, but there is a depth and position in terms of what would be the number six there in that midfield, and it might be in terms of the amount of games that we've got that we do need to start to rotate a wee bit in that position. Obviously, we saw McCarthy coming on for his usual 10-minute cameo at the weekend. Soro came on very late in the game, managed to lose the ball. And Beaton did okay, you know, throughout the game, apart from a few, you know, pressure moments with Joe Hart. So it might be about, you know, giving that rotation, because it gives you that attacking midfielder that you've got off the bench that you wouldn't get if you did go with McGregor, Turnbull, Rogic. But as a midfield that we have, we've seen that it can be effective though for us this season.
100%. And I thought Beaton had a smashing game actually, until he got moved to centre half. You know, he's been centre half for 3 or 4 years now, and you just get sick of him. I mean, I certainly get sick of him. I mean, that sending off against Mitchell, and I lost the plot, you know, in the stadium. And I thought,
that's not even down to his position, Patrick. It's just down to complete.
Aye, because it was an off-the-ball incident, and that's why you just think, oh, we need to get rid of this guy. But when he's in the midfield, he seems to be his old self, you know. He played that position under Dialan, and he played really, really well. He was getting compared to Busquets at times, you know. But not by me. But no, I mean, you're right. He's been adequate cover since Rogic went out of the team. And, you know, we all thought Soro was going to play that position as a defensive midfielder. But I just think he can be a bit of a bomb scare, especially when he comes on in games. And
he's really erratic.
His passing is quite erratic. I'm not his biggest fan anymore. And I think McCarthy struggled for fitness, but I thought when he came on, apart from his very first pass to Beaton, which could have resulted in a St. Johnson goal, I thought he played quite well. he helped out with the defence a lot. He cleared a lot of balls. So I think he could come into the team. You know, we've got, you know, we've all spoken about the tough run we've got. I think we've got another 10 games or something, 10, 11 games. So
10 in December alone. And obviously we've still got to play Bayer Leverkusen on Thursday and then Aberdeen. So 12 games in this block, and then there's the game in January. So 13 before the next
13 games. There you go then. So I think we can see all these players coming into the team. But yeah, I mean, the squad depth isn't ideal, but there is something there to hopefully get us over the line with just about maximum points, I think.
Yeah, and talking about that squad depth, just to kind of bring this in from Robert, he's saying that he would sell both Bain and another Greek fella, I think you're referring to Vasilis Barkas there, and try to buy the young sweeper keeper. Oh, okay, I know who you're talking about. But Patrick, just before we came on air, you sent me an article off Twitter and it was saying that it looks as if Celtic, I don't know if you've seen this, Lawrence, were about to hand Scott Bain a contract extension. What would be your initial thoughts on that? And would you be confident enough, if anything, touch wood, happened to Joe Hart, that Scott Bain would be able to come in and do a job for us with a settled defence?
To be honest, you know, it wouldn't be my choice, but Bain's done it before, he's come in and done a job, but I think he's last season, saying that there's loads of doubts about loads of players last season, but you know, if we're handing Bain a contract, what's the future for Conor Hazard, Ross Doohan, is it Toby Olowemu, England under 21, he's getting rave reviews, but you know, where are we going? We've got kind of three highly rated junk keepers. Conor was obviously in goal for the quadruple treble. Jesus. You know, quadruple treble, just amazing, isn't it? It's another cup won. Some people can't, you know, win anything at Hampden, but it's just outstanding. You know, if Bain's get a contract, what's the plans for the three other, you know, young promising keepers? I think everybody agrees kind of Barkas is, you know, his time's come and gone. But yeah, I'd be surprised we're handing Bain a contract, but you know, I'm just seeing him in training every day. Maybe he's seen stuff that we're not seeing or we've forgotten, because was it under Rodgers that came in or Lenny came in? They're on one
under thing. Rodgers.
Under Rodgers, isn't it?
Yeah, if you look at that kind of, you know, he's one of our usual commenters here, saying he's happy at the team, being always remembers the Ibrox, we won 3-2. He did have a decent enough game in that. I wouldn't really say the two goals that we conceded were his fault. He came into the Celtic team on merit. If you remember Craig Gordon's absolute howler against Salzburg at Celtic Park, and then a couple of months later, you know, Craig Gordon was dropped and Scott Bain came in because in terms of what Brendan was trying to do with the ball, getting passed out at the back, he suited the style. Neil Lennon persisted with Scott Bain throughout the rest of that season. Obviously, you know, Scott Bain was a goalkeeper when we won the treble, not the quadruple treble, Lawrence. And then he was dropped after the Clues game. If you remember the story right, he was meant to have hurt one of his fingers. And then Fraser Foster appeared back in. I don't think that would have helped his confidence, Patrick. So, you know, maybe as Lawrence said, we don't know what's happening in training. Stevie Woods has obviously worked very closely with him now for, what will that be, 3 years, plus coming up to 4 years in January 2022. Maybe we have forgot the good side of Scott Bain and maybe he would kick on if we give him another chance in front of a settled defence. You know, he's not got Shane Duffy in front of him this time.
And I mean, it's entirely possible, but it still doesn't change the fact he's not made an appearance since Joe Hart signed. I think I'm right in saying that.
Joe Hart came in just before we played Jablonec and he's played every game since.
He played the next day, didn't he, when he first signed? I'm not a Scott Bain fan, I'll be honest. I mean, I actually wanted to sign him, and then as soon as he started playing, I wanted with him. I'm not a fan of Barkas either. I would punt the both of them, as one of those comments said. I can't comment on the Man U keeper. I don't know how good or bad he is, but I'd certainly be looking for another goalkeeper. One thing we do need to do, though, I mean, Scott Bain's contract does run out in 2023, and you actually do need to look at these guys. You know, you need to look 2 years in advance and you need to say to yourself, whether I need to sign these guys in a new deal or sell them. And obviously we've looked at Scott Bain and said, we're going to sign him in a new deal. And there's a load of other players like that as well. I think you've got Tom Rodgick, I think, runs out in 2023 as well. So you need to look at players like this. Just as I say, not a big fan of Scott Bain. And you know what Lawrence said, you've got Ross Doohan, Connor Hazard, and then the 18-year-old, I think he's Toby. English, Toby, who I think there's an article online a few days ago that there's a plan for him to be the number one keeper at Celtic by 2024, which is when Hart's contract runs out. I'm not sure how true that is, but you know, if he's playing for England under 21s or under 18s, he must be not half bad. So you've got these three youth goalkeepers in the background when, you know, I think we need to give one of these guys a chance one of these days, you know, an early cup round or something of a home game against Livingston or Hamilton or whatever when we're not facing a lot of shots, you know. But yeah, I wouldn't give Scott Bain a new contract, put it that way.
Well, as you say, again, we were talking about experience earlier on, you know, experience of Joe Hart being in there, and some younger keepers you can only pass on a lot. That he's obviously, Joe Hart's played highest level, you know, captured his country over 70 times, played in the Champions League. All that experience, I'm sure, would help some of the younger guys. So, yeah. But back to Ange Postecoglou, again, Tony Ralston. Lawrence, he says that, you know, in terms of Tony's application and everything he's did so far, and said he simply opened the door and it was Ralston that had to walk through it. But, you know, he gave him the information and he said he thinks now that Ralston's opened that door and he's shut it right behind him. And again, you know, Ralston was in a position, maybe something like the Scott Bain was, that he wasn't sure where his career was going at all at Celtic.
Yeah, I mean, Tony hadn't had a huge run of games anywhere he'd been. Maybe it was getting a run and getting settled. Last season, I think Cal Mack came out a couple of times and said, look, well, we didn't know what we're meant to be doing out there. Ange seems to give the players the information of what they're meant to be doing. This is the plan. Go and try and carry the plan out, which Tony seems to be thriving on. And, you know, football's very much a confidence game, isn't it? His confidence has got to be sky high. You know, he's confounded everyone, hasn't he? You know, I think it was only a year's contract we gave him, wasn't it? So we maybe need to be looking at, you know, signing up as well. It's, yeah, Tony's, what a season he's having. Absolutely outstanding. But it was great the way Ange, you know, heaps all the praise on the players. He doesn't take any of it for himself, does he? You know, it's all about the players are doing well, and when it goes badly, it's Ange's fault. But when it's going well, it's the players or his staff that are doing well. So, you know, it's a really likeable aspect of his character, that the way he communicates that.
Yeah, football's a collective game, and he's certainly a man that, you know, doesn't shy away from letting other people take the praise. And, you know, when the chips are laid down at times, he's quite happy to take responsibility for it as well. So, yeah, I think that is really refreshing to see. And Patrick, even just the way he talks, I mean, we'll finish on this, but, you know, he talks about the game and people, you know, he said when he goes home to his two boys, they don't listen to him, probably causing running a riot around the house. But when he goes into Lennox Town, he's got 40 people that believe in him. And said he's passionate about what he does, and you do really get that off him, that, you know, he's made a big commitment to come to Scotland from Japan, and, you know, he's here to do a good job, and he's, you know, given 100%, probably more, to Celtic at this point in time, which is, you know, all that we can really ask for off him, and hopefully that comes with success.
Yeah, 100%, and, you know, he is sort of doing it all on his own. I don't doubt that the background staff have helped him and bought into his ideas and helped convey those messages to the players. But, you know, I think you've seen Eddie Howe say in the papers a week or two ago that he didn't come to Celtic because he couldn't get the backroom team he wanted and he didn't want to be doing it himself. But when you actually look at things, you know, Ange is basically, he's came in himself, he's convinced everyone of his ideas, and we've kicked on from a horror show last season. So you've got to admire the work that he's done, and he says all the time that he backs himself, he backs his style, he's not going to change for anyone. If it doesn't work out, he accepts that, and he wouldn't change it for the world. He loves the pressure, and I wouldn't change it either, because it is working at the moment. We're only getting better. He's a lovable guy. We're in a cup final. We're only 4 points off the top, so long may it continue.
And Lawrence, you know, our tagline today is, I'm here to bring trophies to this football club. He said at the very end of his interview, he's humbled by the Celtic support acceptance of him. He said it's a massive motivator to bring success to the football club. And he said that the feeling will be priceless if he does bring success to the football club. He said the club is well aware, needs success, and it needs silverware. And that's his goal and that's his ambition. And good luck to him in doing that.
Yeah, listen, I think, you know, we've got a hard game against Hibs in the final, but we're going to go into that as favourites. You can see why Ange's won trophies wherever he's been. It's, well, I think apart from a short-lived stay in Greece, but...
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Yeah, I've no doubt that he's, you know, by the time he, whenever that may be in the future, that leaves Celtic, he's going to do so with a haul of trophies and leaving us in a better place than we were when he took over. Because he is building a young team and, you know, he's building a philosophy of football, or a re-establishing a philosophy of football, maybe I should say, because it is the Celtic way, isn't it? And he's definitely bringing that back, which is great to see.
And adding the word mate into all our vocabularies probably by the time that it departs Celtic. Hopefully that isn't for a long time.
Mate, you also know what a 4X is now?
Yes, I do. Oh, I didn't know that before. Only information about Ozzy Lager was Foster's, but yeah, we've been teaching a wee bit, Lawrence. But I was going to touch on Saturday, Patty, but I think, you know, we've not been on since the AGM last week. I was one of the people that was at the AGM last week. This statement came out. We spoke earlier on, and we can only get 15 minutes. If we spoke earlier on about self-awareness in the Christmas advert, right? So it does mean that there's people and departments at the club that are very self-aware and, you know, but last week's performance, especially by the chairman, was not very self-aware. And this statement, which I mentioned earlier on, in reflection of the appointment of Bernard Higgins, you know, it's very much so reflected by the Celtic support that Celtic fans do not want this appointment to happen at the club. But do you think after, you know, Michael Nicholson, the rest of the guys on the board see this, that will be it? Or do you think they're going to just do what they did last season and dig their heels in once again?
I think it would be difficult to dig their heels in with fans in the ground, and, you know, they can't evict barriers like they did last season. I think I seen a rumour on Twitter that he's going to be appointed on the 5th of January. I really, really hope that's not true. I think they're probably banking on us hitting form, winning our game in the 2nd of January, being in a good mood, and then try to hide bad news. It won't work. It definitely won't work, because it's an insult to the fans, it's an insult to the Green Brigade, it's an insult to football fans, never mind Celtic fans. If this is to go ahead, they know they're doing it against the wishes of well over 90% of the Celtic support. And, you know, what else can you say? You were saying there about the AGM, you'd like to think that these guys are aware enough, like the people who make the Christmas advert, what the Celtic fans are thinking. Mm-hmm. It's clear that, you know, either they don't have a clue or they are aware and they're just doing it to annoy us anyway. They're just flying in the face of what we care about. And I think, you know, Ian Bankier allegedly lost the room by 90% to 10%, and he'd probably lose a vote by season ticket holders by the same number. Unfortunately, all his mates are all the big shareholders, so he gets to stay on as Celtic chairman. And, you know, until these guys either get with the programme or are replaced, you're going to see controversies like this all the time. You know, we've seen a big controversy with John Reid. Is it John Reid? Mm-hmm. 10 years ago.
Yep.
And, you know, these things come around. It was Lord Livingston as well, 5 or 6 years ago. I think this would be the worst of the lot, personally, because this is a man who's targeted football fans in particular. You know, Don Raid, 6 in the morning, trying to lift people. It shouldn't go ahead, and it's all hell will break loose, and it could derail our season, most importantly, if it does go ahead, which we don't want.
Yeah, it could. When the news came out initially, I think it, you know, brought the mood of the Celtic fans down, and there's no need to do that just now. Lawrence, on Saturday, the clip that was up on Twitter yesterday, you know, you see that the players are in tune with us, the manager's in tune with us, and the fans are in tune with us. It's about time some of the guys in the board get in tune with us. I mean, in this statement signed off us, we ask you to address this issue and to reconsider such an appointment. Ian Banker had that opportunity last week to give assurances, and he would not comment on it and give any assurances. That isn't a good sign from last week. Again, I don't know whether that's just, you know, we won't be told what to do by yous, but again, you know, we are the paying customers. The people in that room last week were the shareholders. They are the ordinary punter. It was made very clear, I think, to two men, particularly Ian Banker and Brian Wilson, but shareholders fought of both men with the action in the room towards both. But in terms of the self-awareness, to come away with the line, you know, I won't receive a round of applause in this room was absolutely baffling to come away with that. And he really does have the opportunity, and Michael Nicholson too, to just completely kill this speculation of this appointment off as soon as possible. I think we've lost your sound.
Sorry, that line about won't receive a round of applause in this room just shows the utter contempt from what she treats the fans and the people in the room. He was like, you know what, you use don't matter. Whether I get a round of applause here or not. Listen, the board and their decisions, we get they can't go on every one of the fans, and they can't be changing strategies just because the fan says this. And perhaps that was wrong with last season's transfer strategy when they held on to players for too long because, you know, it's come out, there's been some leaks saying, oh, the fans would have went mental if they'd sold them Bailey and Charm and they're under the 10. There might have been a bit of discontent if they had, but if they'd reinvested the money in players, you know, nearly as good or equally as good as them, I think we'd have got a better performance last season. But there's some decisions that are just so far wrong that they need to listen to the fans. And I think the Bernard Higgins decision would be one of them. You know, the only reason you can think of them appointing is they want to have a fight with the Green Brigade. Not they want to achieve anything other than have a fight, you know, because this is just such a confrontational decision. It is never going to be anything amicable is going to come from this. I think there's too much water under the bridge with Higgins and the way, whether that was the way he was instructed to police it or not, it was certainly the way he led the policing of the Offensive Behaviour Act at football. And sometimes you've got to wonder, I know they're different from us and they operate in a different stratosphere in terms of money and that, but Jesus, it's almost like they're from a different planet if they think this decision is in any way acceptable. And what's more than worrying, you know, the people on the board should have the best interest of Celtic Football Club.
Which they always say they do.
Club, it is the fans. And this is in no way having the best interest of fans at heart. So you've really got to wonder just what are they doing here? And hopefully the letter makes them rethink, but maybe it'll be, you know, another reply along the bank here thing. It doesn't matter what's in the letter because that isn't what affects me.
Yeah, and, you know, as you say, maybe the letter might change their thinking, Lawrence, but it shouldn't have had to come to this at all, Patrick. You know, last week was the opportunity to completely, you know, kill it dead in the water. I mean, he didn't do so. And, you know, in terms of Ian Banker last week, he said the board was accountable for its actions in last season, but I think all Celtic fans are still wondering in what way were they accountable for last season's disaster.
I think they're probably hoping that Peter Lawwell would take his retirement and would all sort of forgive the rest of them. And in that way as well, they are holding us in contempt because we're not that daft, we're not that stupid. You know, everyone knows the faces of the seven board members, everyone knows the names. We know a lot of their backgrounds, people like Brian Wilson and Tom Allison and Dermot Desmond. We know what they're like as people, certainly as businessmen. So we can't just forget stuff like that. You know, Dermot Desmond's a ruthless businessman who's worth over $2 billion. How he cannot run a football club properly, I don't know, because it is his job. He is the biggest shareholder. But yeah, I think if they're going to try and take on the fans, you know, the fans put on a brilliant display, and we're kind of talking about the Green Brigade here, but the Green Brigade put on a terrific display. We all seen the video on Twitter, how much time and money was spent in that burial display.
which supporters participated in as a United support as well.
Exactly.
St. Patrick, organised by the Green Brigade, but participated in by the support, and so a United front and a support.
And I've not seen one person say that that display was rotten. Everyone says the display was brilliant. You know, Celtic refused to tweet about it and mention it because of the pyrotechnics involved. They're more than happy to sell big picture frames in the club shop of the Tifo against Barcelona, which the Green Brigade organised. They're more than happy to profit off of the displays that the Green Brigade make. But, you know, I think there needs to be a level of respect shown, which there hasn't been for at least a year and a half. And I'm hoping Michael Nicholson can change that. And I'm hoping this isn't a Michael Nicholson appointment, because I think it's a chance for a fresh start. Even though he's been at the club for 8 years, it's a chance for a different direction with a younger guy in charge. So, yeah.
Patrick, see what you're saying on Desmond running the football club. I think that goes to the heart of it. It should be the CEO that runs it. Uh-huh. And they also call the CEO to account. And obviously, we had a new CEO who didn't last very long. We've now got an interim one. And I think a large part of the problem is the interference from above. It is down to a minority shareholder. Yeah, he's got the most amount of shares, but he isn't a majority shareholder.
That's a key word, Lawrence, as well. It's something that Patrick always says. You know, it's not 50%+. It's well below that.
So it's, I think it's really down to, you know, how it's been run. And we do need a strong CEO. Is Michael going to be that one? Let's hope so. And if he is, listen, him taking this decision out of anyone's hands and saying, you know what, I'm not appointing him. No matter what, I'm not appointing him. Where would Celtic go? Do they sack another CEO? you know, that would just be ridiculous. You know, so I think it's maybe, you know, we're looking at Michael and going, well, you know what? You're in the hot seat. What are you going to do?
Yeah, and it's something that Paul's mentioned before, is this, you know, kind of trinity between the people running the club, the fan base, and the manager and the team. At this point in time, as I said, only two of them are intact, the manager and the team and supporters. And the gulf between that and the people running the club is massive just now. We've got an opportunity to press a restart button here with Michael Nicholson. We want him to obviously succeed in Celtic, to do well under his watch, but this appointment would really put him off on the wrong foot with a lot of Celtic fans. And I think, you know, Kevin Graham's going to be a point in saying that, you know, never fight unneeded big battles when you can win small ones that lead you to your goal, and that's it. The small battles we should be focusing on is getting the right players in and getting the right people into the football department that takes us to win that league title and qualifies us for the Champions League, and keeping our supporters happy and keeping the best interest of Celtic Football Club at heart. At this point in time, the appointment of Bernard Higgins is not putting the Celtic support's best interest at heart. I think that statement's very clear on it's an appointment that shouldn't be made. A lot of fans, group organisations, fan media have made their voices very clear today. And I think, you know, if they don't listen to this, I don't know what they ever would listen to. But to leave us on a positive note, because we're approaching the end of the show today, thanks to everybody that commented on it. The Celtic song, obviously something that's absolutely synonymous with Bertie Auld, is 60 this year. It came up in my Facebook memories the other day that it was from 10 years ago, the first team were singing it for the 50th anniversary, but it's 60 this year. So happy birthday to the Celtic song. It's 60. It's a song I know a lot of people have very happy memories with. Sure, it's a grand old team to play for. It certainly is. It's a grand old team to watch at this point in time, and we're all enjoying watching it. But, you know, the final point that I think we've all said here, and Patrick, just to let you add in on this, just what I said there, you know, that there's no need to have these battles off the park that don't need to happen, that completely divide the support. It's time to, you know, be in a united front where other clubs might be feeling a bit of division in amongst them just now, and it's time to go forward, and that starts with just completely killing this appointment in the mud.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the importance of winning the league this season can't be stressed highly enough. You know, you need to be laser-focused, because it gives us an extra 3 weeks of pre-season next season, straight into the Champions League, £30 million. We get the title back. And, you know, there's that comment about, you know, all the fines that we've accumulated in Europe add up to the total of a player. Well, it's only a tenth of a Yeti, and a Yeti's been a total failure. So I think there needs to be a bit of introspection on who's actually wasting the money. And if we can focus on how we best utilise the money for on the park, I think off the field, there won't be any issues.
But listen, see on the fines, and it's mostly for pyrotechnics and, you know, some banners, do they really think Higgins is going to get the Green Brigade to stop? You know, that's the objective. So I don't think he's going to get agreement. So how's he going to do it? What kind of policing and stewarding would they have to put in place to get it to stop? You know, it'd have to be fairly repressive, I would say. And would probably be an end to the TIFOs that they, as you've touched, they make money out of in the slows. And another thing, you know, he's appointed for health and safety. Where else have they looked? I mean, half of Glasgow knows David Ross, one of the biggest Celtic supporters out there, heavily involved in health and safety at concerts, at Hampden. You know, has anyone spoke to him? What was the recruitment process here? Was it just, here's an ex-policeman that the Green Brigade don't like, let's get him on board? You know, it is mind-boggling that they went through a recruitment process and he was the best candidate.
Yeah, well, again, we'll see what happens. Hopefully this will take a step and that this appointment doesn't happen. But if you've not watched the Open Goal interview with Ange, it's certainly worth watching a sit-down. If you've not watched the advert, get it watched. Congratulations to Mikael Lustig. It's 10 years since he actually signed for Celtic. That makes me feel really old because I was only an 11-year-old wee guy when that happened. Now approaching the end of uni. To anybody that's watching the show that's heading off to Germany, hope you enjoy the trip. Hopefully we get a result over there. Enjoy yourself. And Axel will be back tomorrow with the bulletin and then obviously all the other shows in between. But to everybody watching, comment in a Celtic state of mind. Thank you and hail, hail.
Message and data rates may apply. Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head, comb it over, wear a hat? Just stop. This isn't 1970. Keep your hair and your confidence because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration experts, can give you your real hair back permanently. Check them out today because they're giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to anyone that texts EASY to 203203. Dude, you don't have to look like your dad, because this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're ahead of the curve. They use the latest technology to give you your real hair back. And the best part? Bosley's permanent solution is protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Let Bosley show you for free how awesome your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off. Text EASY to 203203. That's BASY to 203203.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.